Subcommittee on Human Services. It's the work session on Senate Bill 5537, continuing on from yesterday, which was May 19th, and today is the 20th, I think.
21st,
maybe. 20th, I believe. I know that I'm not feeling that well, but I'm not that far off. Mr. Olson, and they've got me at a very bad disadvantage today because they know that I'm not feeling that well today.
Get that sales tax ready, Bree.
You say we're going to add a fee to this bill?
Yeah, it's called a sales tax.
All right, you guys, come on, let's go. This shouldn't take us long.
Okay, Madam Chair, members of the subcommittee, this is the budget for the Psychiatric Security Review Board. You will be seeing technical adjustments being made in all agency bills. That's the first section of the memo that I delivered to your offices on Friday. All budgets will be adjusted for our salary freeze, no merit increases in 03-05 biennium. The reduction for this budget for that adjustment is $32,208. There's also inflation reductions being taken for the items that are listed there. The adjustment for the inflation reduction for this budget totals $2,340. There's also a DAS assessment reduction of $470, and the Attorney General rate reduction went from $109 an hour down to $98 an hour, and so that adjustment is $3,891. There will also be coming later on in the session adjustments for PERS rate and the Audits Division assessment, but those are not ready to go at this time, and so those will be made in a separate bill later on in the session. Those are the technical adjustments.
I know that there's some questions that members have and want to ask of the agency and want to ask George. And I know that Representative Smith has a question. Representative Smith.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. How is your caseload regarding to legal action looking?
Madam Chair, Representative Smith, this year...
For the record.
I'm Mary Claire Buckley. I'm the Executive Director of the Psychiatric Security Review Board. This year, we have managed to remain within our allotment for the Attorney General billings as of this point in time.
Okay. Do you have anything on the horizon that could give you trouble that you're aware of?
Representative Smith, we do have several cases that are awaiting Supreme Court action, and those always are much more expensive than this, the regular ones that go to the Court of Appeals.
Okay. So you anticipate that those could be burdensome and costly to your agency?
Madam Chair, Representative Smith, yes. That always is a problematic area for the agency. In addition, increasing the caseload means that there's many more opportunities for individuals to appeal any decision that they feel they're dissatisfied with.
Thank you.
Ms. Buckley, one of the concerns that this panel has and with the recommendation that the LFO staff will make, the assurance that should in the future there is a need for your agency to have additional revenue based on what's happening with increased caseload and also on actions that are beyond your control, like AG, that you're able to come back to eBoard to request the funds that are necessary. I think it's just, and I've talked to some of the members, they do not want you to be in a place to where you do not have that ability to have those resources available to you. I just needed to put that on record for you, that it's the intent of this body, that we know that you're in a position where you can't control what happens with the number of appeals that go before your body, nor do you control what happens with AG costs. So...
Madam Chair, thank you. Would appreciate that.
Senator Gordon.
Thank you very much. Well, I would first like to just thank you for your leadership with this agency and for the compassion and commitment that you bring to the agency. And I'm recalling that the last time you were here and you were talking about the caseload that's being managed by the PSRB, you talked about with the cutback in mental health services, you're working with a caseload where people are experiencing loss of residences, ability to pay for medications, loss of treatment. I'm looking back at my notes now and just kind of recapturing what you said. You talked about the 20% growth in caseload that has been experienced over the last 4 years. You said that the board at that time was meeting two times a month and planned to do that for the rest of the biennium in order to handle the hearings, and that the board was dealing with, at that time, 17 matters per day. You saw a dramatic increase. We talked some about what doesn't get done, given that you had this, that you were experiencing this degree of increase in caseload. And we also talked, you gave us your opinion then of the state's vulnerability to lawsuits. I would like to ask now if you could capture for us, where are we now? How is the PSRB managing its existing caseload? What are the problems? What are the concerns? What are the issues that we should know about as we are looking at approving this budget?
Madam Chair, Senator Gordley, I think things have only gotten worse since I last appeared before you. As a result of the problems throughout the whole mental health system, the board has seen an increase, a dramatic, I think, increase in the number of individuals who have come under our board just this year. I was here before you in January. Since January 1st, we already have 44 new clients under the board. In the last calendar year, we only got 76 new clients. So we are well beyond what the numbers for new cases were for the last several years. We used to average 55 to 60. In the past 4 or 5 years, we've had 75 or 76. And at the current rate, we could well reach 100. I think that's, you know, partly because of the when you don't provide the services in the communities, people do come to the attention of law enforcement and then end up in your criminal justice system, and then a certain percentage of them are going to assert the insanity defense and come under the board's jurisdiction. So I don't see that our caseload is going anywhere but up. Under our enabling statutes, what we have to do is provide hearings in a timely fashion for all of those individuals. And so these new clients, and at the time, in order to deal with Special Session 5's cuts, we had lost another $37,000. And in order to meet that obligation, I had to reduce a secretary to half-time, which was the first time, even though I only have three other, you know, staff full-time equivalents, I had to reduce her time, which was, as you can imagine, given those increased demands on the staff, difficult to manage. And we reduced the number of hearings that the board was holding. We used to meet weekly, and then we reduced it to three times a month. And for the rest of this biennium, in order to make up that deficit, we were scheduled to only meet twice. But given that all those new cases require a hearing within 90 days, I actually had to increase that to three times this month and next month in order to meet those statutory obligations. Although, having spoken with my analyst, we are going to be able to remain within our budget for this biennium, even with those additional days. So I think the board faces those problems itself. These are also manifested in the larger system when you can't meet when the board can't meet to determine whether an individual can be released into the community, that causes the log jam in at the hospital, and that still is a problem, as I'm sure you're well aware. They are currently 41 over forensic census at the hospital. So it just is compounded throughout the system with some of these problems. We have had to approach the Office of Mental Health and Addiction Services for additional funding for our clients who prior to the were qualified for general assistance, and that used to pay their room and board fees, and that's no longer available. So the Office of Mental Health has had to, you know, come up with additional funding to pay their that piece of their residential cost. Medications for those clients who a lot of our clients lost the health plan plus, because then if you're not in a residential facility, then you don't qualify for OHP plus right now. And so this office, we had to request the Office of Mental Health Services to pay for our clients' medications. So those are just some of the serious and ongoing difficulties that this agency and our population continues to face.
Madam Chair, if I could follow up.
Follow up.
The 41, I believe you said there are 41 over in the forensic census at Oregon State Hospital?
I believe that's the number. That's the number last Thursday anyway.
And what does that mean in terms of where those 41 people are currently being
housed? Madam Senator Goodley, that just, I believe, means that each ward would have, you know, a number of people over. I think most of the wards are supposed to only house 35 individuals, and a lot of the wards have 40 now.
Excuse me. I'm having a side conversation, and I apologize. And my side conversation is what specifically, and I'm asking LFO, in order for you to manage this caseload increase, what are your specific needs are, and whether or not this body should be looking at your add-backs. And I don't have that information before me. And I think this, you know, if listening to the individuals on this body, that we all want to make certain that you have what you need and the tools that you need for your agency. So we could do one or two things. We can, Mr. Olson just whispered and said, you know, we can work with you to look at what your needs are given the caseload increases, so that I have the information to discuss that with the co-chairs on and not go ahead today, or we can go ahead and it makes it more cumbersome if we go ahead, and then I'm still trying to work to get your figures completed. So I guess I'm looking...
Like, what is everybody's pleasure?
What everybody's pleasure is. I know there's some concern on this body.
Well, Madam Chair, I want this agency to have everything it needs to do its job today. Given the caseload that they've been asked to manage, they need to have the capacity to
manage
that. The other reality, and we heard this the last time that Ms. was before us, the state is vulnerable to lawsuit. That's a reality. That comes with a cost. So what do we need to do now to ensure that, I mean, there are public safety issues here, overarching public safety issues. And then there's the issue of ensuring that the people under the supervision of the PSRD are getting access to their treatments.
Senator Carter.
That being said, I would be one of the people that would support, I think, inherent in your conversation, was would they want to keep their budget in this committee? I am of the opinion also, if this budget leaves us today, is it will have to go in the scheme of things of add-backs, in that you're better off, Mayor Fair, with your budget not being signed and sealed.
I guess my preference is to have George, Mr. Naughton, and Mr. Olson and Mary sit down and really go through what to dealing with the issue. And I've seen the nods down on this side as well on the issues of what really, given the caseload increases, given the probability of possible lawsuits and what have you, what's at risk? And let's really come back with what, even within our constraints, I think I would rather deal with it from that basis than to deal with it from a basis of saying, oh, here's what we're going to do, but you know, by the way, this may not be what really you need to be doing in order to manage your operation. Is that kind of Senator Morris?
Thank you, Madam Chair. What is the caseload expected for the balance of this year? Just looking at the
Madam Chair, Senator Morris,
current caseload, yeah.
Right now we have 610 individuals under our jurisdiction, of which 260 live in the community that we have to monitor and supervise. And if at 5 months or less than 5 months we have 43, I think we could project out at the current rate that we would have probably 900 new clients just for this this calendar year. And with each one of those comes the requirement of holding hearings, and that is one of my concerns, is that you know, prior to the commencement of this hearing, you know, I was told that we were going to have to absorb additional loss. But I don't think that the board can do its business in fewer hearing days, nor do I think that we can do it with fewer staff. And that's what I've had to do in order to manage the previous cuts of the special sessions. There is just no... You know, fat, we pay the rent, we pay the, you know, rental on the computers, we pay, you know, I don't even have a water fountain in our office anymore. I mean, it's, you know, there's just nothing that I can see. We're mandated to send notices, so the paper, the postage, those kind of things, it just doesn't seem to be, we're not doing any subscriptions, you know, all those kind of things have been done. And so a cut of $20,000, an additional $20,000 when we've already absorbed what happened in the special sessions, which was, you know, close to $70,000 for a small agency like ours is significant.
Question, can you live within, or does the governor's recommended budget get you to what you need to do within your caseload increases? And I'm looking now at the figure of... 795-770.
Madam Chair, it is the board's expectation that we would do so.
Senator Carter.
I'd just like for all of you guys that are here, legislators, to know I was here during the 80s. We caught hell. And you need not believe that when you go back to your constituency and something happened that this board is supposed to be in charge, that happened. Your telephone is going to ring off. And the newspapers had us all in the newspaper. Am I lying about Kathleen? Is that fair? It was horrible. Of all the agencies, you want to have the money that they need is this agency, because somebody get out and kill somebody, or somebody get out and do something out of the ordinary, the legislature catches hell.
Senator Morris.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As I recall, when we were hearing this budget in January, and I have found the note that I made or highlighted, the narrative has indicated that three of the five board members sit on a case, except for your most extraordinary, I think is the term that's used here. And my suggestion was, in terms of expanding the ability to or to accommodate the expanding workload, that there be a way of scheduling and rotating members. You know, effectively, you could increase your capacity approximately 40% if you rotated the members. And I don't understand how you manage that, but if you're only utilizing three of the five board members, except for the most extraordinary cases, it would seem to me that you would have some flexibility to increase the caseload.
Madam Chair, Senator Morse, I did respond to your inquiry. The statute does set out that there's a five-member board, and the statute requires that three members sit in a panel to conduct any business. And so it's statutorily required that we have at least three members sit as a panel. When I did the arithmetic, I think your suggestion in January is to consider two-member panels, but that would only save me $300 a hearing day, and it really didn't come anywhere close to the dollar figure that we're talking about, even if we reduce the panels. But that, you know, is not under our present statutory scheme an option, but to do two-member panels, you would save $300, and if we do that, that's nine. You know, it doesn't make up the deficit that we were looking at.
Yeah, Madam Chair, as I recall, I don't think my suggestion was to reduce to two members. It was if you have five members and you're only utilizing three, you have the capacity to bring more cases in by utilizing those other members. It would seem like by rotating and setting a schedule. That would allow you to have increased.
Madam Chair, Senator Morse, we do do that. We get the board members' availability. We schedule. We set hearings on Mondays. As I said, they used to be weekly, and now they're down to two or three times a month. We set out how many we can afford to have, and then we, depending upon the board members' schedules, we set each one, and they do rotate in, and so that we have a balance of members appearing at each hearing. So it's not that the board members aren't utilized, it's just we can only have a certain number of hearings given the budget that we are given. So hearings we hold once a week, and various three-member panels sit each time the board is scheduled to hold hearings.
Thank you. I guess maybe this would clarify for me. Are your board members compensated when they're not in a hearing?
No. Madam Chair, Senator Morse, no. Members are only paid for the days that they sit.
Incorrect assumption.
Oh, yes.
So that clarifies it for me. Thank you.
Senator Gordon.
Thank you. There's another issue, Madam Chair, that we should all be aware of, and it comes out of testimony from the hearing, the public hearing. I recall you telling us that currently it costs $110,000 per client to be in the forensic ward at Oregon State Hospital. $110,000 per client. And we have made, as a legislative body, we've made public policy decisions. I'm going to go back to January and start there. Aftermath of Measure 28, special sessions, et cetera. We have made public policy decisions that have resulted in the population in the forensic center going up to what we now have, which is 41 over census. So if I do that arithmetic, if you will, we're talking about 110,000 times 41. And where are the costs budgeted for that? Again, all driven by public policy decisions that we've made and that I fear we have made without truly understanding the unintended consequences. Because these are people, for the most part, who could have and should have been the recipient of services back in their communities.
Ms. Buckley, in going through and looking at the governor's recommendation for the 0305, and then once you, and looking at the current LFO recommendation, once you make the technical adjustments to that package, and, you know, we can move that out, that particular package out today, and making those adjustments, which would put the total at 756861. I still would, even with that, would like to also put on the record that this body still has some concerns that should the need arise during the interim, when we're not in session, to where you're seeing your caseloads go up and you're seeing that you're having some additional AGs cost or cost due to the appeals and what have you, that you're able to come back to the emergency board to address those particular issues. And if Dr. Bates will get in here, get back in here. And then I'll turn to LFO. Keeping me hydrated. Is that workable?
Madam Chair, yes. Thank you very much.
Mr. Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the subcommittee, the LFO recommendation would then be to approve the budget bill for the Psychiatric Security Review Board in the amount of $756,861, specifically $754,861 general fund and 2,000 other funds, and 4.0 FTE, and approve the amendment to the bill amending line 6, deleting $793,770 and inserting
$754,861.
Madam Chair.
Senator Carter. I would like to move the Security Review Board budget with the recommendations given by LFO staff and whatever technical amendments that adjustments that need to be taken.
Senator Carter moves that we send Senate Bill 5537 as amended to the full committee with the I have to amend the first to Senate Bill 5537 to 754861 as amended to the full committee with the due pass recommendation and the technical adjustments as outlined by legislative fiscal. Any objections while I still have my voice? Hearing none, so ordered.
Thank you very much.
And Mr. Olson, you will know my concern.
Yes, I will. We need to talk about performance measures as well.
Oh, now we're on performance measures.
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the subcommittee, subcommittees are taking formal action on performance measures. The performance measures for this board can be found on page 21 of the Governor's Balanced Budget Binder. There was not extensive discussion or dissatisfaction from the subcommittee during the budget hearing, and so LFO is recommending approval of the performance measures as submitted by the agency.
Madam Chair, so moved.
Senator Carter moves that we accept the performance measures as presented by the agency. Is there any objection to accepting the performance measure? I'd like to point out, and I know there's no objection, that this agency has probably been one of the more efficiency ran agencies that have come before us, and we really appreciate all of your hard work. Your agency has been one that when we talked about performance measures last session, that you really took it seriously, and I wish that everybody had modeled the amount of work and effort that you put into making sure we understand it. And I just have to say I appreciate that.
Thank you very much.
Is there any other comment? Because I know that most of this panel have been here before and have worked on performance measures, and it makes it a lot easier for us to understand the issues that you're facing and why you're facing them and what your outcomes are when your performance measures are written in clear and concise language and understand. So, Dr. Bates, do you have anything to add?
Nothing. I'm sure you did a wonderful job.
Thank you.
Cold and all cold.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Minister.